Right.
Hey, would everybody come take a seat? We are going to start our regular city council meeting. We will start as always with a moment of silence, followed by the pledge of allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Crawford.
Certainly, Mayor Mike Hill.
Here.
Ryan Lopez.
Here.
Richard May.
Present.
And Mayor Missouri. Garth Baldwin, Eric Davidson, and Trina Higgins requesting the excuse.
I move that we excuse those three municipal council members.
All in favor? Any opposed? No. Pass 4-0. Okay. We have a number of public hearings. Before we start the public hearings, I'm going to read you a summary of Robert's Rules of Order, which is what is going to be the standard in this council chambers going forward. The city and the city council encourage discussion on issues related to the welfare of the citizens of Blaine and to providing the necessary services. During public comment or during council discussion, it is not only possible but encouraged to have a different point of view. However, all comments must be stated respectfully. You may disagree, but you may not be disagreeable. There can be no personalization of comments. You can disagree with an opinion, but not with the person expressing that opinion, and no inflammatory remarks like liar will be entertained. No shouting, no name calling, or yelling will be allowed. If this happens, the member or public will be called out of order and must stop speaking. Any council member may also call somebody out of order. If this disruption continues, a recess or adjournment may be called by the chair in this meeting, or the persons causing this may be asked to leave the council meeting. So I'm just saying this now, you may be asked to leave the council meeting if you are disrupted. In this meeting, it is appropriate to address the staff or council as Council Member Lopez, Council Member Hill, Mayor Pro Tem May, and Madam Mayor. You may not use any other form of address to us. It is appropriate when you are talking to the staff to refer to them by their titles. Mr. City Manager, Mr. Public Works Director, and so on. We will have the quorum in this chamber. Thank you. First public hearing is 2024 property tax. Mr. Heverling, do you want to outline this, please?
Yes, Madam Mayor, Dan Heverling, Finance Director. Madam Mayor, honorable council members, so this is the presentation on 2024 property tax, which will then lead into a public hearing. The first slide, property tax presentation on the 2023 poll levy was $1,386,998 approximately. So we're proposing a 1% increase over that over 2023, which is $13,870, rounded up. Next slide. And then the proposed 2024 total levy would be $1,400,000, $868 approximately. There will be future growth in the area, which could increase those numbers slightly more as we get more people moving into the area. This is just the total levy that would be assessed on all Blaine. Each household probably would pay an extra couple of dollars a year. So It's just a 1% increase, but this is the total levy that's increased. And that's all I have on hand.
Thank you. Okay, so we'll start the public hearing.
And Mr. Finance Director, just a point of clarification for one. The 1% increase, that is the maximum that state allows, correct?
That's correct. It max allows 1% per year. Council does have the discretion to not take that 1% and then that would be banked to take in a future year. But traditionally, we've taken the 1% per year.
All right, thank you.
Okay. I have a list of names here, but it's unsure whether they are for the property tax or the budget, seeing as no indication is made. So anyone wishing to speak at the public hearing on the property tax, can raise your hands at an appropriate time. You will have 5 minutes to speak on the property tax. And if you come to the podium, please give your name and address. So anyone speaking on the property tax? Is there anyone online, Mr. Crawford, that would like to speak on the property tax? I'll give them a few moments. Okay, that ends the public hearing on 2024 property tax. We'll then go on to the second public hearing, which is the 2024 budget. Again, Mr. Heatherman, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, Honorable Councilmembers, Dan Heatherman again, Finance Director. So this is the proposed 2024 total budget. Next slide, please. So this overall is proposed a decrease over the 2023 approved budget. I'll just point out a couple of areas here. And this is the approved and draft budget without any fund balance in it. So this is just the expenses. General fund is proposed to go from $8,890,355 in 2023 down to $8,772,730. And then you can see the different members in the special revenue funds. There is a proposed increase in street fund, $901,317 up to $1,514,831. Next slide. Then you have all the capital funds, enterprise funds. The point of the electric fund has a decrease from $11,655,109 down to $11,212,044. Then the other one I'll point out is the other big one, wastewater fund, is $13,632,787 down to $8,376,519. Total budget in 2023 was $56,309,577. We are proposing this draft budget to go down to $49,370,667. If you have any questions, I'll take them out.
Okay, I will open up the public hearing on the 2024 budget. Again, same thing apply. If you would like to speak on that, you may raise your hand, come up to the podium, and speak for 5 minutes. Mr. Carter, do you have the timer that you will, please?
So in fairness, because there was some concern that people were getting more time to talk than others, Mr. Crawford will be keeping the timer and will let you know when your 5 minutes is up. So if anybody wishing to speak on the 2024 budget, please come to the podium. And Mr. Crawford, anybody online? Okay.
It's the most pleasant two public hearings I've ever participated in.
Okay. That closes the 2024 public hearing on the budget. We'll then move on to the public hearing to consider ordinance number 23-3006, approving a 6-month extension and renewal of the moratorium on filing, acceptance, and processing of new applications for any manufactured home parts, as approved by ordinance 2997 and affirmed by ordinance number 23-3002. If extended, the moratorium will remain in effect until May 22nd, 2024, unless terminated earlier by the City Council. Mr. City Manager, would you like to make any comments prior to the public hearing?
Thank you, Mayor. I would just like to remind the audience that any comments made during the town hall format won't be a part of the public record because it was a town hall format. So to introduce those comments into the record, those comments will need to be remade at the public hearing. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Okay, I will just put down the order as we have in the list then. Oh, the other thing, just before you start, there will be no more ceding of anybody's time to another speaker. Okay, that is done. Okay, first we have Ian McGaffey. Would you like to come up, please? And we have Donna McGaffey. We're all really passionate about this because obviously we're all here to talk about it. Sometimes I'm not going to be signing on the way.
Can you please state your name and address?
Don McGaffick, 9584 West 34. It's off the page. All right. As I was headed down today, God gave me a sign just as we headed out the door, and I couldn't believe it. I said, "Hold, Colorado, stop. Let me get a photo of that, and I'm going back home." Because right on this property here, I got a snapshot of it, and it says, I'll let all of you see it, right on this property, groundwater protected region. How is that going with protecting groundwater when we're talking about basically clear-cutting this area and moving I grew up meeting that representatives actually represent the people in the area. As a matter of fact, I ask you, how many residents complain are against the development of this beautiful wetland area? Almost every single hand went up. To me, this was very upsetting. There's so many people who don't want to develop in this way, then why are members of the City Council and our neighbor trying to push it through? Do we not know represent our interests? Maybe the problem is you have more than interest. What are your special interests? It makes me raise questions. In fact, at the last time, we were made fun of as a type of backward town. Do you remember?
I do.
Which is not that populated as places like London and Flamborough, since we are not as populated. But guess what? That is the moment in the last episode of the museum. We know that every sport in the world has a knowledge of our culture. We are seeing the wildlife. We are seeing the town. We are seeing the nature. In the weather, I think we're so regretful that we are not able to make fun of that, or live in, or not miss that out. I'll tell you why. There's a big council. The weather is going to remove it. So why are we doing that? Is it because the city council is not listening to us? If we don't have a list of the city, if we don't fight, and one of the purposes is for the problem is we're supposed to go and we're going to have a
and I love it for the world. It is kind of you that was more than our family. In fact, I just had a contact with the Protection Agency, which makes sure that such problems are investigated around the land that was being protected and not disturbed by the members of the Protection Agency. We were shocked to hear that our government was planning to come in and recklessly destroy such a fragile energy system.
Let's put that to my picture that God sent. I'm waiting.
In fact, they are looking at the industry. One of those main systems of blame went to a restaurant place in the town, which is never yet. It is time to get a letter involved in this will be all the special interest of our small town government. Just for a second, imagine that Jim Jones, who is a teacher at Lane, and who made his mission to protect the land and help them secure a beautiful park. Then, Lane's that. Trying to preserve land instead of allowing developers to get their hands on it. Why can't people who are willing to choose this way of thinking? I believe the chair of the group is disappointed in us. I have to make money at a community expense. Clearly, a lot of people are not in favor of this. You're handing our people to a child who is just interested in making payments on the land each year. We need them to have to change the population density, which is 1:10. We need them to have to do the deadline of the charity. Stop and examine. If we're the person we're trying to create, is this a human interruption to the law of crime? I'm surprised that one person can destroy the area of our city, and somehow it was my life. What lessons are you teaching the children of blame? That the citizens of blame have no voice here? That one way to change a task, like the vast majority of citizens actually for their own we do not have a in this to occur. We have never been able to change to a high level of our rights. We're not going to have a lot of spaces, we're recruitment. Again, I have everyone on the city council to go back in time and ask that party what are you scared of? Excuse me, your time is up. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, next we have Grant Dudley. Are you speaking on the public hearing?
Yes.
Okay, welcome. Come up. Again, you have 5 minutes. And give your name and address again, please, for the record.
Sure, hi. My name is Grant Dudley, 87 Ruby Street, Oklahoma. And I did speak earlier in the town hall, but I understand that things were quick. So, real quick, I had wanted to be council men and women to know that there are more options available than the three that were presented by staff at the last meeting. Council member May responded that that is known, so I'm glad for that. And I just want to get off the record that I think there are other options, and at least one of them is to not have mobile home parks at all in either the city or the PR room. And that would certainly correct the inconsistency in a different way. So that's one. Also, in general, I have a bit of a comment about the development, especially the size of the development. Actually, there's no problem on the table here right now. So I'm talking actually about, say, the last one, the Harbor Hills development that was built on the west side of Harvey. And that was a very big development. I'm pretty sure it's all filled up, but it's approved and it's there. And it was, as I understand it, approved without a lot of additional infrastructure. For example, H Street was not widened or is not planned to be widened to deal with the traffic. And neither was it's Harvey, neither is E Street. And to me, that seems a little disingenuous of the city to create 350 plus doorknobs without requiring the developer to account for the impact. Additionally, schools should be considered. You know, down south, Seattle and the outskirts of Seattle, when a developer wants to build a neighborhood, they build a school. They fund it, they allocate ground to it, and there are other things that they do. But we seem to do none of those things. And I question that. And again, I personally am, I work as a developer. I was mostly responsible for the Drake Ridge project. But I would remind folks that that was 39 lots. It's a tenth of what was built or is in progress being built at Harbor Hills. And similarly, the project that is not a really well, but will come down the pike here on the market property is much, much bigger. And so if we do get to the point where we're talking about that project, I would like to impress upon our council, planning commission, everyone, to require more of the developer. And if that happens to build a project, that's not my concern. But it is perfectly reasonable for the city to expect the developer to create the infrastructure and the things that are needed to serve that what they want to build. And they do it down south all the time, and I don't understand why we don't talk about it right away. When I did build the Great Reach project, I was required to put sidewalks off-site, trails off-site. Those kind of things are kind of small time, but really, still, it was. So it's really within the power and the purview of the Planning Commission and the City Council to do such a thing. Once again, if we get past this particular topic about the inconsistency, and it happens to go in the favor, in the direction where we decide we are going to have manufactured home parks. Firstly, let's limit where they are. Let's definitely consider the variable when we control where they are. Because the statement that none of the other properties out there in the BR zone are suitable is just not really true. Properties can be aggregated. Neighbors can get together to make things happen. The Grand Pond can be characterized into one. It's totally possible. As Mr. Council Member May said, you have to plan for what might happen. But if we do have all of that, and we have on the table down the road an application for a mobile home park, let us at least make the developer widen H Street and Harvey and any other roads that are involved. And that's probably all I can say for it.
Thank you. 17 seconds.
Jennifer Conlon, 5416 Goldfinch Lane, in Blaine. Madam Mayor, Honorable Council People, and City Staff. I am just speaking about an email that was sent to City Council that was questioning the impartiality and or financial interests of Planning Commissioner. I just wanted everyone to know that we as planning commissioners have been asked by staff if we had or have had any financial interest in any part of this project. The answer from all the commissioners was no. Thank you. And next we have Tina Irwin.
My name is Tina Irwin from 9590 Sherwood Lane. I'm standing here as I've been standing here every time there's a meeting for 14 months. And I'm wondering why this keeps going on. The biggest mystery to me is that I hear people say, well, we can't even make an application because nothing's been decided. And I understand why it takes so long to make a decision not to destroy a protected water zone. The bigger, Mr. Jensen, is that I haven't written an application, so I don't know if it's going to happen. If you can agree to write the application, if you really have some level of insurance, then this is going to do that as well. Then how do you spend the money to allow the water? The question is what it is. And the information for the regular and the regular and the concern for the regular. Something about this, I'm sorry, feels fishy to me. But who has some assurance from the city that this was on the regular when he was just patient, reaching through others, knowing that he still would act. This makes no sense to me, nor does it make sense to anyone else. But I never understood my mind, which still had this discussion 14 months later.
Next, we have Ron Ruhr. Can you please come up?
My name is Ron Ruhr. I address 9680 Flamborough Road in Washington, Massachusetts. My 5 acres of this law office with my other neighbors that are across the street from me, who will be speaking after me, is directly across the street on H Street at Flamborough Road, where the 100-acre swamp or lake, whatever you want to call it, has existed from the dawn of time. That whole hillside was clear cut in the early 1900s and was called Pioneer Flat. I have lived there for 4 years in the Glen area, and even though I don't have any specific things about water quality and questions about this developer, I did participate in all of the participation possible with Brandis Pond and Kennebert's events on Dry. And one of my first questions is, who's paying for the sewer and the water lines and all the utilities to go out that way? Because right now it's raw land and has been for a century. My other question is, how can this be a long-term solution for housing in Blaine? Are these going to be individual owned lots? Are these going to be just a park with 80 lots, 90 lots, 150 lots? Will RVs be parking in these parks? Will there be public showers for these RVs if they don't have recommended and required plumbing and showers and bathrooms? Will these modular homes be owned or will they be on rental lots? And how is parking a lot denser defined with setbacks in addition to how this can be a positive tax base for planning long term versus actual stick frame standard housing? And what happened to Dan versus Brandis Pond? I hope he's still alive. And with his proposal, it was 4 units per acre. This modular home situation in your paperwork says it's 9 units per acre. That's a lot of density compared to what the rest of the area is. And I'd like you to also keep in mind that there are existing modular and mobile home parks that are in Birch Bay and Blaine. I can assure you, some of them are full, some of them are not. And some of them are crime-ridden where the sheriff won't even go there sometimes because of the meth problem that's there. And California created that area. And another question I have, because I was a union representative for 15 years, I'm the only person in the history of this state and probably the nation that was invited to the legislative convention for the VIAW in Vancouver, BC back in 1995. I worked with them side by side for 5 years with the rebel group to change the laws so people didn't get a $200 slap on the hand when they were unregistered underground economy contractor. Today is $1,000 a day fine if they keep not getting their act in order and being a legal business. And it's been that way since 1997. I do seriously question why the BIAW, the Building Association of Western Washington, would support a modular home process when there's not one of their members, other than the people that do the dirt work and utilities, is going to receive a dime off of this, because these homes are made in factories for people that make minimum wage. And they're not tradesmen. They are hourly workers that don't have a whole lot of skill compared to somebody who's worked their entire life as a tradesman. And it is an insult to the working people in this community of that association to stand up and say, this is a good thing. I think it's a travesty in my mind. But that's how politics goes, and that's how the money flows. I recommend each one of you to vote for number 4 on action. Vote for D for next. And vote for option 4 when it comes time for your say and what your thoughts are and how this should go, because this is really an insult to anybody who owns property in this area. And it's also an insult to the future generations. And my granddaughter is 3 years old to grow up in this town and have another crime-infested area possibly be the
place of time. Thank you,
Mayor.
And I'm just going down the list, and I don't know whether anyone is just for audience participation. So when I call your name, and all you want is to be part of the audience participation, which comes next, just please indicate. I am assuming that everybody is speaking on the public hearing. So next, I have Raymond Hall. Would you please come up?
I'm Raymond Hall. I live at 378 Ray Street Road, Blaine. I'll just kind of start with, I guess, my personal history. You know, I grew up on a couple acres and a house. And when I was a teenager, I ended up moving into apartments. Lived in apartments pretty much my whole life. And so that's apartment life, and you know, it sucks. It's horrible. And if you've ever had kids in an apartment or had a neighbor that had kids, you'll know that that's not very fun either. And if the math is 9 per acre, is that what the math is for this? That's a question. Is that accurate?
He has not been proposed and presented, so we don't know.
Okay, well, I guess my point is you know, as council members or people in the city, if you really want to be able to show your face, you know, and be proud, then having people so crammed together is a terrible thing, and it's horrible for families. I've raised 4 kids, and I wouldn't wish this idea upon anybody. And, you know, I work in the HVAC community, so, you know, I'm everywhere. And I've been to the one in Virgin Bay, it's just super size, stupid, huge. And I don't see any kids. You know, you don't see any kids. And it's kids don't live there. They can't, there's nothing to do, there's nowhere to go, no space. So, you know, I would like to say that, you know, manufactured homes are terrible, and to be honest, I live in one. And the only reason I bought it was because it had 5 acres. If it didn't have 5 acres, I wouldn't have bought it. Because they're crap. Pardon my language. But they're junk. You want to buy a bathtub? You can't buy a regular bathtub. You can't buy anything regular for a regular house. You cannot buy that for your home. You can't do it. Nothing fits, and it's because they're cheaply made. They're junk. I just put a roof on mine, and my roof is worth more than my house. So, you know, if you want to go ahead and make some kind of deal for housing for people that need homes, then think about families. The families are—they're the ones that need it the most. Not just 2 people. You know, those 2 people, if they get when they get married and they have kids, they're going to need space. They're going to want a pet. They're going to want all this stuff. Maybe they want a boat. You can't have a boat if there's no space to put anything. No privacy. So, you know, if you had it like an acre or a half acre per house, I would accept that. I don't think anybody that's in it for money is going to accept that. That's just insane. Way too much to mark. But I think that if you really want to make Lane something, just like what she was talking about, why she came here, because there's nobody here, right? It's pretty peaceful here. That's why we move here, because it's peaceful here. I got a homeless guy that sleeps on the front of my property every now and then because he walks from Linden to Blaine. How many times I couldn't tell you, but the police know my name. Jerome, you heard that name? So, you know, if you want to do something good for your community, then fine. You know, build some housing. That's some housing. But a manufactured home without property is garbage. And to tell anybody that with a straight face that they're wonderful and everything will be wonderful and they'll just increase in value over time, just like a house, just insult people to the television.
Next, we have Charles Davidson.
Charles Davidson, PCPH Street Lane. Madam Mayor, Council members, distinguished members and fellow residents of Lane, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to you today. I want to start off saying that I attended the October 9th City Council meeting concerning the trailer park. I had a deep support for the concerns of the residents of Lane. I was in agreement with what was being said and the fears that were being conveyed. I came to this meeting not educated. I came to this meeting with fears of having a trailer park placed in my city, my neighborhood, my home. I'm a free person, I'm an independent thinker, and I was easily led during this meeting. I spoke with others after.
Hey, nigger boy. What's up, nigger boy?
Can you make that please, sir?
Nigger.
This is not coming out of your time, sir.
Okay. Let me know when to start, and I'll start. All right, I'm going to
go. Please go on, sir.
I spoke with others after the council meeting. The focus of this meeting has been lost. The focus of this meeting is to discuss the language in the city code, language approved by the state and that was inadvertently left out of BNC
17.68.1.20.8.1.
Nigger. Just remove completely. Can we just close it off completely? Well, if we can turn the sound feed off or just turn the TV off until we need somebody. We don't need anybody on
the line. Alright. I was shocked to find out that this has been going on for over a year. The change needs to be made, and the members of this council, the distinguished members, need to continue their great work for this city. Further conversation with fellow community members, I gained more insight for the planned manufactured housing development plan. This manufactured housing development will maintain the highest standards, with attention to the visual appearance of the development, maintain landscaping, manufactured homes will be placed on a foundation, and development will cater to the 55 above community, and much more. How do I know this? Because I had an open and unbiased conversation, because I asked. To the council members before me, please pass the needed language to resolve this discussion. Distinguished members, please continue open flow of information for all the persons involved.